something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on Taggart and Torrens.
It's our first annual Candy Awards, a celebration of all things Canadian.
We catch up with Ronnie Taggart.
Plus, what's a greasy caveman doing with the mayor of Toronto?
TNT starts right now.
Cocktail, please.
Hey, Jonathan, how are you?
Jeremy Taggart, I'm great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Episode 7.
It's been a little while since we've spoken, and I'm happy and I'm excited that we're going to get the chance to catch up. Mostly, I'm excited that it's our first annual Candy Awards.
Yeah, me too. That will be the celebration of all things Canadian. We have all kinds of categories. We have some send-ins from some famous Canadians, a couple Twitter candies. So, yeah, it'll be a pretty exciting time for Canadian culture on this episode of Taggart and Torrens.
And if it's not clear already, the candies are named after the great John Candy, who Jeremy and I both agree is maybe the greatest Canadian, the person who most symbolizes what it means to be from this wonderful country that we both love. So it should go without saying that any categories that John Candy might be eligible for, he's kind of the recipient of a lifelong candy across all categories. So he is not eligible this year, I'm afraid.
Yeah, he's kind of the Babe Ruth ambassador type for Canadianity, and he's just there. He's like in all our thoughts with Canada.
And we'll get to the candies in a little bit, but I wanted to start by asking a question of Canadian pride. And the question is, once the NHL playoffs come, like this year, for example, there's one Canadian team left in the race. As a Canadian...
Yes, the Montreal Canadiens would be the last team left.
So as a Canadian, are you obligated to cheer for the Canadiens? I make no bones about the fact that I'm an Oilers fan. They're not in the playoff picture. So if I need a side piece, do I have to be stepping out with the Habs?
See, and I'm under the same umbrella where I try to be unbiased towards our great sport. And, you know, I would like to see the Cup come back with a Canadian team. I know everybody always says that, well, who cares? All these teams have mostly Canadian players anyway. Well, that's true. But how many times do you hear people say, it's been 25 years or since 1993, 1994, since the Cup has come into this country, it's not been here for... So, like, the drought is there. Nobody stops talking about it.
Right.
I believe that as much as it pains me that the Habs would do it, they are a good team. We did have Price to cheer for with the Olympic game, and everybody felt okay then, and we all kind of, I think even Leafs fans can, they don't swallow as hard because he does have that Canadian gold. He's the boy. He did the job.
I was thinking about this last night, and if we could afford a researcher, maybe we'd know. I wonder when or if the last time a goalie has won Olympic gold and the Stanley Cup in the same year.
Yes, that would be a good stat to know, and I'm sure somebody would know that. But that's why it makes it easier. But I'm getting both sides. I can understand the Leaf fans. Like on Twitter, I'll say, great game by the Habs. And I was like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that?
What's wrong with you? Yeah.
I can understand that. I sympathize with that too. It's like, you know what? Some days I feel the same way. It's like I'm being stupid by doing this. But I'm only doing it for the hope that the Canadian people have the Stanley Cup full blown, not the fact that it's with a bunch of cottagers that are Canadian that play for, you know, the Blackhawks or San Jose, right, or St. Louis. Or,
well, it's I'll just, tell you something. My first instinct was to step out on the Oilers with the Ducks because I got to see them play in Ottawa this year. And the Getzlaf Perry thing is incredible. The fact that Getzlaf takes a puck to the face and comes back in the next game and is excels and is the game changer, kind of difference guy. Then I remembered the downside of being an Oilers fan and living on the East Coast is that I have to stay up till 11 or midnight for the games to even start. So if I'm going to step out, I should really do it with an East Coast team. But then Nathan MacKinnon's from Cole Harbour, he's had 7 points in the first two games. The Avs are on fire. Patrick Roy has... Stanley Cup rings older than MacKinnon. But the Avs are a really interesting story this year.
And then San Jose, when you saw them drum the Kings, was it 7-2? And Quick was just getting crushed. When you see a great hockey team, it's hard not to root for that. But there's just this element that the South just continues to take the cup, and I just feel it needs to end. Toronto is in the news again, Jonathan. This time,
well, it's
this,
not for this hockey.
This is a bomb that actually hits close to home with you. Finally, we've been dealing, myself saying a Torontonian, with Rob Ford and
his shenanigans.
Finally, he's put together a campaign personnel, including who this hits home. Can you explain this to me?
So Greasy Caveman Sam Losko and disgraced
Caveman
sprinter Ben Johnson. By the way, so Rob Ford appears at this news conference with these two wingmen. And in all of the media outlets, they referred to disgraced sprinter Ben Johnson. Almost like, do you remember when the Rodney King thing happened and he was referred to as black motorist simply for being black and driving a car? Yeah. In all of the court documents, everywhere, he was referred to as black motorist Rodney King, which is the weirdest label.
Yeah.
Disgraced sprinter Ben Johnson is, first of all, a mouthful to say. And second of all, like, at what point can you just kind of let it go?
It's awful because you saw these documentaries that basically said everybody else was juicing, including Carl Lewis with the braces and everything. Yeah, I figured his reputation probably saved it a little bit, made him feel a little better, and maybe he was more embraced by the Canadian public. I guess not. Right off the bat, disgraced.
Disgraced sprinter. I'm going to start referring to myself as former has-been Jonathan Torrance. I think we should all have a phrase that comes before our name just to give context.
And Sam Losko, a famed bouncer. And so, Trailer
Park
Boy. So Sam
Tarasco is his real name. And he's an awfully nice man. Not to brag, but I got the chance to speak to him at the release of the Trailer Park movie. He said the way it went down is he was there to pitch Rob Ford on the idea of doing a promotional event with Ben Johnson, where Rob Ford races Ben Johnson and... Ben Johnson, disgraced sprinter Ben Johnson, gives Rob Ford a 50-yard head start.
Oh, my God.
So this is the idea that was being pitched in the room. If you believe what Sam says, and I am apt to, Ford says, watch this, come with me. They walk out where there's a scrum gathered, and he introduces them as members of his campaign team. That was a surprise to Sam. He didn't know that was coming.
Come on, like totally. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys, check this out. Look how much power I have over the media. Watch this.
I'm Madonna. I'm going to go Madonna. Get Madonna on you guys.
He is Canada's Madonna. The kind of weird side effect of all of this, of course, is that in social media, people start to turn on the Trailer Park Boys as a unit and say, I'm really disappointed in you guys. Because obviously people have real emotion around this. And people were saying, I used to really like your show, but now that you've gotten involved with Rob Ford, I don't know how to feel about it. First of all, this was the brazen and puzzling act of one man. This wasn't a community endorsement of Rob Ford. And second of all, unless you're doing 22 minutes, politics and comedy shows don't really jive.
What I don't understand is what the hell was Sam Tarasco? Why was he the pitch man for this thing, the Ben
Johnson?
Because
he's not a disgraced sprinter, but he is a multi-hyphenate, and he does like you said, he's kind of nightclub bouncer guy with guts up to event promoter, and he's a big dreamer guy, and he has a show on SwearNet, which is the website owned by the three Trailer Park guys, called High Effers, where he tries different types of marijuana and usually ends with him vomiting in a bucket.
I heard about that at one time he's like smoking so many bong hits or something that he throws up.
Yeah.
And I could see how he was like maybe not wanting to be his on his campaign. Well, what happened after that day? Was he Well, has he done anything for him, or has he showed up in any more events with him?
I don't think Ben Johnson. I mean, the folks who own and control Trailer Park Boys were obviously concerned that the public perception was the show and all the people on it were endorsing this guy. And whether they do privately is their own individual business. But it just the perception was the optics of it weren't great. So they had to issue a press release saying, you know, hey, there's no room for politics in the park, but we'd like to invite all the candidates over for a political party.
Like that's, I need to see the film of like from the way guys watch this of Ben Johnson's face of like listening
well,
to him
part.
Going.
Like, Sam's character on Trailer Park is named Sam. And when Rob Ford comes out, he says, I'd like you to meet a couple of buddies of mine. This is Cave from Trailer Park Boys.
No way.
I don't know if he's ever even seen the show, but he introduces him as like, someone must have said, yeah, he plays a greasy caveman on Trailer Park Boys. So Rob Ford thought that was his character's name. Hey, it's my buddy Cave, my good buddy Cave.
But what the hell? What the hell is Ben Johnson going to, like... you know, do scrums? What's he supposed to do for him? Talk about the city?
If you're a disgraced sprinter, what other options do you have? If that's what it says on your T4, where else are you going to make any money?
Racing kids in the park for some candy? Just for fundraising?
Didn't he also, wasn't he the guy, didn't he race a horse or he pulled a plane with his mouth or something?
Yeah, no, he tried to race a horse.
He's kind of been... vaulted into the circus stratosphere. Meanwhile, what does Carl Lewis do? What's he doing?
Well, he's probably on some athletic committee getting $150,000 to show up and shake hands, you know, in America.
And disgraced sprinter Ben Johnson is getting a nylon City of Toronto jacket.
And he's got to race a horse. And then Rob Ford at 50 yards. And maybe kill Rob Ford because he's going to try and run and race Ben Johnson.
Maybe a category in the candy should be Canadian you feel the most sorry for. Mine might be Ben Johnson. Mine might be disgraced sprinter Ben Johnson.
Absolutely. I feel really bad for him because everybody was juicing when he was in doing that stuff, for sure. And he was like... almost made to, not just his trainer, but the situation he was in and the people around him. Like, it's just, if you're at that Olympic level, you're part of that system, and that was part of the system.
Has been.
There's not much of a bigger has been.
Has Ben Johnson. First annual Candy Awards, our celebration of the best of Canada, coming right up on Taggart and Torrance. Stay tuned.
When I'm with you.
Welcome to the first annual Candy Awards. This is our celebration of all things Canadian. And I think, Jeremy, we should start by saying, I know you're with me on this. I love this country so much. There's no place in the world I'd rather live. And in fact, I lived in the States, as you did, for 5 or 6 years. And there was a moment where all of the things that used to be limiting and a little suffocating about where I came from were suddenly comforting and familiar, and I just had to move home. There wasn't a job in LA that would have been better than living in Canada. We're obviously about to have fun with some of these categories, but I think it's important to say it's coming from a place of love and good old-fashioned teasing.
I state all of the same sentiment, and I feel that... There's no wrong to be had in this country, and I'm glad I'm here enough now that I don't have to miss it.
You know, I lived in Venice Beach. I was escorted to my door by a cop with his weapon drawn 3 times in the last 6 months I lived there, and aside from the fact that there are no real seasons, it's moments like that where you think, man. These were all kind of security clearances. Like, it's probably okay. There's a guy in the loose in the neighborhood. We're just being extra careful. But it's moments like that you realize Canada's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And I remember the same. I lived in Manhattan Beach, just a little south of Venice. And yeah, I got roughed up by cops one night. Good times, man. Good times.
It's because you look greasy. I also can't help but think traveling the country, as you have too, that, you know, you go somewhere like, Yellowknife or out on the West Coast like Tofino or St.
Nice.
John's.
Yeah.
It's so disparate and there's so much variation geographically that every time I go somewhere new, I'm really fired up by the, oh man, we get this too. This is still Canada aspect of it. I love that about it.
Yeah, we have way too much vastness. So let's start out with the first candy.
So all that to say, there were some categories that we just kind of blew out, like most Canadian holiday, for example, because we both agreed that it...
May 24.
Gotta be.
I mean, the name of it itself, it brings the idea of a case of beer. And
it sure does.
It also means days off. It's getting warm. It's time to party. If you can find
it.
Find
this year, it could mean pond hockey.
Find a deck chair. No, not this year. It's not. It's actually warm right now. It's 22 degrees in Toronto. How is it out there?
It's probably 22 degrees Fahrenheit.
Ooh. Really? It's cold still?
It is. It's that wind.
Man.
The snow's long gone and all that stuff, but it is starting to feel like spring. I'm joking a bit. But we also solicited from some people on the Twitter machine ideas for candy. Scott Stricker, Best Canadian Dog, Littlest Hobo.
Guaranteed.
PJ Derridan.
Nice.
Sudbury Nickel, as a Canadian icon, sure is. H.E. Pennypacker said the rock combo, April Wine.
Oh, very nice. Yes. And
very
you know
nice
what?
Canadian sound.
An understated... talented as well. They had some seriously intricate songwriting skills. I don't know.
And
if
some Nova Scotia ties, right? Miles, isn't Miles from Nova Scotia?
And also Jerry Mercer, the drummer, famous rock and roll drummer, great drummer. I remember, I believe their front of house guy one night got I don't know if they maybe got in a fight or something, so he like cranked his vocal mic. The drummer, you know, he had one of those Garth Brooks little side things while he was doing the drum solo. He just cranked that mic so you could hear him like huffing and puffing during the solo. It's all like, so you could barely hear the drums. He like turned the drums down and then the whole crowd could just hear. And Jerry had no clue that this was going on, but the crowd was like laughing because they could hear all they could hear.
Oh my gosh.
Him gasping. And this was fairly, you know, within the last 15 years or something. So it's like, talk about getting the guy back, eh? That's pretty rough.
I'm going to tell you something. You never mess with crew guys. It's the same in TV and film.
No.
And, you know, some people think like, oh, I don't know if the crew's laughing. It's not funny because they're a little base or something.
Yeah.
Their taste. Yep. My feeling is always crew guys have been around so much for so long that if they're laughing, there's a good chance you're onto something funny and new.
Yes, absolutely.
They're looking for reasons to not laugh and just get the job done and go home.
Well, and it's
so
just
you never mess with those cats.
It's as real as it gets as well. Like it's just you know, when you're in a situation where people, and sometimes the crew will label you as the talent, and sometimes talent acts like talent, and they tend to separate themselves from the gatekeepers or the reality-based people that are the crew. So, yeah.
Hey,
let's get to this, our first actual candy for you and I.
Is?
Most Canadian word.
Tough one. Who's going to go first? In Canadian fashion, should we defer to each other? No, you go first.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
You go first. I'll go first.
Okay.
I think the most Canadian word is right, because it comes out in so, and also if you say it like right or
right,
right or rate, it's even better. You can hear it at a rate on or that's rate or just rate. Right on. It's just, it's so Canadian. You can hear that one coming right. That would be the Newfoundland. It's the right. And it goes right across and it doesn't really change much from once you get to Moncton. And then it goes all the way to Tofino, becomes just right, back to right again.
Hey, is right on, is that Canadian?
I think
right
it is.
Right on.
Yeah, right on. Or
right on. Because certainly Mike Myers did it in...
Or fucking rights. That's
that's very Canadian.
Very Canadian.
how much do you love the close-up of the goal scorer in hockey coverage, and you can see when the other guys are skating over to hug him, 8 times out of 10, they're letting the F and right fly.
Oh,
you can see their mouth say it.
Oh, yeah, they can see it going around the thing they're chewing on, their mouth guard. You're just fucking right, eh?
And there's also two types of people in the world. Those who say F and rights.
Yeah.
And those who say F and right.
Yeah, there
the
you go.
Totally different.
Totally, yes, for sure.
My vote for most Canadian word is two, T-O-O. Because when you ask someone how they're doing in Canada, there's a good chance the answer is going to be not too bad.
That's
because they don't want to. They don't want to aim high. And if they answer great, that means you're showing off.
Yeah, you don't want to aim.
Twos on your radar, like not too bad. You realize people say, "Yeah, it's not too cold." Or how long were you waiting? Not too long.
Whatever
you
don't
want to put folks out.
Whatever you said, about the same. But that's the precursor of like, I'm just going to say not too bad because I don't want to be feeling any better than you. That's for sure.
But way to set the bar within reach. Like, how are you doing not too bad?
Because
it therein suggests that you're probably doing bad. It's like, how are you doing on a scale of bad? Well, not too bad. And that's like a victory of some kind.
It's also very Canadian in the sense that back in the day when people probably had long, hard days, it was mostly shit. So, like, your feeling was probably a lot of hard work, and yeah, fucking sucks, but not too bad.
Not too bad. Next category is most Canadian food. So, obviously...
yeah, you go ahead first with this one.
Thanks, eh?
Yeah.
Obviously, there's some, some pretty on-the-nose Canadian food. So, what I opted to do was take two that were combined at a restaurant in Montreal called Garde Manger, run by this guy named Chuck, who has two tattoos. One forearm says lobster, and the other forearm says bacon. He has a TV show called Chuck's Day Off.
Okay, yeah.
And it was the first place I've ever had lobster poutine.
Ooh.
Two words that don't make sense on paper, but in your mouth makes perfect sense.
And this only happens in Montreal properly?
Well, I couldn't say properly because I've since seen it other places. But that was the first place I had lobster poutine. And there's something about old Montreal, which is pretty Canadian.
Yeah.
Lobster poutine, two distinctly Canadian flavors. It was almost like English and French coming together.
I do.
And it's delicious taste bud.
I apologize for not being too varied, but we didn't talk about our answers beforehand. I myself said poutine as well.
Come on,
I did because of those things you just mentioned. Those long nights after concerts in Montreal, crushing poutine, or even like after rural Quebec, either going to Saint-Hubert or.
Saint-Hubert chicken. Yeah,
so just you're guaranteed to get some good full-on solid eats at late night times. And in Montreal especially, just the fact that usually there was almost a culture of people being awake still and after hours feeling. And it's also very terrible for you, but tasty, not a bad
rural Quebec is a special place, man. I pulled in one night in a snowstorm to stay at this little one of those strip motel like danseuses nu on the side of the highway in Quebec.
Nice.
Driving through from Ontario to New Brunswick, and I was there with my friend Brian, the guy who played Ken Pompadour in Street Sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman said in the dining room, will you be joining us for dinner? And we said sure. So she brought over a couple menus, and she took our order, and she went over to the phone, called them into some restaurant not too far away, and the guy drove the food over. They didn't actually make food at this restaurant anymore.
Oh my God, that's classic.
It is from the past a little bit, some parts of rural Quebec.
I remember staying I think it was in like Drummondville or Jonquière or something.
Rivière-du-Loup.
Yeah, but we were at some real greasy hotel. And it was the first time I'd actually, I think I saw, like, because it was Canadian, old, like, really cheap porno on, like, bad video. But they were just
Le nuit.
They were on in the rooms, like, all the time on, like, they only had, like, 10 channels, and, like, three of them were different pornos that were on loop. And you've heard this before. Everybody has heard this before, but these pornos were made in this fucking motel, like for real. 100%.
Come on.
Yes, because the rooms looked exactly the same as some of the ones in the fucking pornos. So you're like...
My friend Rob Warsoff from Montreal does a great French porn impression.
Ah oui, ah oui, ah oui, ah oui, je viens, je viens, je viens, je viens.
It is, it can be counted as culture, I guess.
Well, this was more like kind of like rough biker sex. You know, that was kind of more hardcore. And I guess there was maybe this hotel motel place was maybe owned by people that were in that industry, the cocaine biking community.
Quebec is a special place. I was telling Jay and Dan when I was on their podcast, there is, if you haven't seen it on YouTube, in the 80s, there was a mini putt golf tour in Quebec for big money. And you can see... there's footage like from Cable 10 because they used to cover the tour, and there's guys with bushy mustaches putting, and there's a commentator who's like,
"Regarde ses yeux, c'est comme un jeune Roquette Richard. Et c'est dans le trou, c'est un birdie."
And the guy won like $835 or something.
So it's like
worth checking out.
Like bowling for dollars, except golf.
So would you step outside Quebec for poutine? Like, Donairs are from Halifax, but they're popping up in Fort Mac and Ontario and all over the place because there's so many Maritimers living elsewhere that Donairs are making their way across the country.
Yeah.
Would you go elsewhere for poutine?
I would always try it if it's a local place, like you said, or if it's a person that's, you can tell it's a reputable place. Yeah. Because usually if it's there and open, it has to be good to survive if it's clean and stuff. But usually I'm not expecting the same thing. Like, you know... I find the same if you're out west and you go to coffee places, there's something about the places there that just are the local places that are just incredible compared to the east. And that happens even in the northwestern United States. Same thing like Portland and Seattle. Just there's these weird boutique coffee places where it's just your mind is blown away. But the same thing for poutine. You have to appreciate what happens in Montreal. The same with Montreal bagels, in a sense, too.
And smoked meat.
Yeah, you're not going to get the same thing. Like New York pizza, for example, it just tastes different everywhere else. You know, that's that type of idea. I don't know whether it's the water or what.
I read a theory. Yeah, that's the water and the sauce. Yeah.
So it's a similar thing for poutine. It just it tastes different in Quebec. I don't know why.
Hey, we should do a Degrassi for French Canada about a bunch of Anglophones that hang out at a poutine shop called Poutineagers.
Ooh, nice.
All right, most Canadian moment. I know what mine is. Why don't you go first?
My most Canadian moment is pretty Canadian. I was golfing at the club at Bondhead one day. This was a few years ago, like, I don't know, 8 years ago or something like that. And I was playing with Ian Leggett, who's a great Canadian golfer from Cambridge. Stan Mikita, who's the Slovakian-born Canadian legend.
Come on.
Fame. And
he loved the Blackhawk.
And Lanny McDonald.
Come on.
Who was just like Lanny McDonald. And so playing golf with those guys was great, period, just for good times. But after the fact, we went back to the house there that they have on site. That's this beautiful old renovated place that you stay at. And we had beers all night, but it got to the point where Ian had to be up in the morning and Stan had gone off to bed. And I was just sitting there drinking beers with Lanny McDonald till like, I don't know, 4 a.m.
Wow.
Just talking for like 3 hours, just getting, you know, not too banged up, but just like responsibly drinking with.
Did he still have the stash?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And just the genuine nature of the guy and the depth of the I guess the humanity side of him was incredible. And still, he's one of those people that similar to a John Candy where you always hear something good, like, yeah, man, that guy's so nice. You don't really hear stories about him being not cool. And I think the fact that he's embraced on any every team that he played for, I mean, the guy can't walk the streets in Alberta and he can't walk the streets in Toronto, you know?
Yeah.
And he was only on the Leafs for like a couple of years, wasn't here that long, and he made such an impact. It's crazy.
In fact, I always forget he was on the Leafs. He's so synonymous with the Flames in my mind.
For sure, and that's the thing, but he still comes here huge in the alumni sense. He's always popping around, and he's still one of the favorites because he's such a Canadian guy. Let's hear your most Canadian moment, sir.
So it must have been around the year 2000. Let's say 1999. I'm working on the Juno Awards as a writer. And I'll never forget it, because my favorite joke that I've ever written, I proposed for that year, and it was turned down. It was in an unlikely tour pairing. Deborah Cox has announced plans to tour with Wide Mouth Mason. I didn't believe it myself till I saw the headline, Wide Mouth opens for Cox.
Wow.
Turns out you couldn't say it on the TV at the time. You probably couldn't still today. But it was one of those, come on, it's actually true. It's not even a joke. So
it is funny, though.
It was the year Bruce Cockburn was getting inducted into the Juno Hall of Fame. Environmentalist, of course. Incredible musician, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So the folks who were producing the show thought we should get Dr. David Suzuki to speak to the environmentalist that was Bruce Cockburn, and we should get a Canadian figure of some note musically to speak to the musician side. So that was Gordon Lightfoot.
Nice.
I'm a huge Lightfoot fan.
Good combo right there.
Well, really good combo. And like, what credible folks to induct Bruce Cockburn into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame. Super Canadiana.
Yeah.
So I've written the copy for Gordon Lightfoot, and I'm standing side stage during the rehearsal. And he's a notoriously kind of gruff guy.
Yeah.
And in part of my research for the thing, I was watching old Junos where he performed, and I kind of went into this Lightfoot wormhole where late at night I kind of thought I was Gordon Lightfoot. Like, I was so into it. And so Lightfoot has arrived for rehearsal with Suzuki. He's reading over the copy, and he goes, what is this garbage?
Oh.
I'm like, here's my chance. I'm gonna go out to speak to Gordon Lightfoot. He's my idol. And so I say,
here's my chance. Like, is this what you've written and he doesn't like it?
Yeah.
So you're still excited though to sit.
I was still excited because I got to talk to him.
That's awesome.
So I went up and said, Mr. Lightfoot, my name is Jonathan Torrance. I'm one of the writers on the show. If I could explain for a moment, I think the sentiment was that it would be nice if Dr. Suzuki spoke to the environmentalness and you spoke to the musician. I didn't even get the word out. And he said, bullshit, and walked away.
Wow.
It kind of made me love him more.
Yeah.
But the Canadian-ness of working on the Junos, Suzuki, Cockburn, and Lightfoot, and then Lightfoot disses me, was kind of like a Dear Diary moment, Canadianity.
Yeah, I love
Here's
that.
Here's the button to that story. Shortly after, I was filling in on This Hour Has 22 Minutes, and Gordon Lightfoot was in the hospital. So I pitched an idea where I would play Gordon Lightfoot, because I'd gotten pretty good at doing Gordon Lightfoot, in the hospital bed. Colin Mochrie would be on the news desk, and he would check in with Gordon Lightfoot in the hospital. So I took all his old songs and rewrote the lyrics, like, so Mr. Lightfoot, what happened?
The ambulance came about 7 a.m. when I woke up experiencing gut-wrenching pain. But, you know, the medical people still don't really know what was wrong with me.
So it aired and it killed on the show. The audience loved it. Like,
I still don't know what went wrong, but my favor's gone and the pain is coming back.
That kind of thing. The audience loved it. It went on the air. I was so happy and proud because I paid loving tribute to my idol. We get a cease and desist letter from the Lightfoot family because Gordon Lightfoot was in the hospital and he was a little more 50-50 than they were letting on. So he was actually quite sick, and the family didn't see any humor in the timeliness of this gesture.
So they shelved it?
So once again, I was crushed by Gordon Lightfoot. It aired once only. They had to spatula it out for all the repeats till the end of time. It was only ever aired once.
Oh.
And the odd time I'll get an email or something from someone who says, man, do you remember the time you did that Gordon Lightfoot thing? And it's still a tiny victory for me because I was so proud of it at the time. And yet, twice Gordon Lightfoot crushed me.
Did you at least get the footage?
It's somewhere in the world. So then a few years ago, I went to see him at the House of Blues in Anaheim.
Yeah.
And he's his voice is a little frail now, and he's not able to project maybe the way he once did. And my only memory of the night is the guy behind me, every time he started a song, the guy behind me would go, "Oh, here we go." And every time he got to the end of a song, he'd go, "Oh, there it was.
Come on."
Yeah.
For real? Every song?
Every single song. So that's my most Canadian moment.
That guy was definitely Canadian, and he was stoked, right? Was that?
Oh, here we go. he was some guy working at an IT company in Rancho Cucamonga who drove down to House of Blues in Anaheim.
But it was blowing his mind.
Oh, there it was.
Okay, so Candy for most Canadian TV show.
Tough one.
Yes, it is a tough one. But if you think about it, for me, it's not that difficult. And I'm not even necessarily a fan of the franchise as in terms of the idea of it, but the history and the full bore Canadianity of Degrassi and the series to me is the most Canadian TV show for sure. The fact that it went from the 70s till still going.
When you said the franchise, I thought for sure you were going to say Hockey Night.
Oh, no. I went longer. And just
good
the fact
call.
That they sold it recently for like $37 million or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And it's like non-union, so it's just full-on money. And then there was the drama behind the husband and wife that owned it and the fighting that went on and just all the ensuing madness that goes with Degrassi. And it's just such a simple...
And that it spawned Drake?
Such a simple format. And the fact that the only reason why people liked it was because they always went to the absolute worst case scenario on every single thing that happened. You had sex? Oh, sorry, you got AIDS.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, you got parents that are foster parents. Oh, sorry, they died both together in a car crash.
Right.
You know, always the absolute worst. Oh, you want to try acid? Oh, you're gonna die.
There weren't many victories for the kids on the show.
Every time, you had sex, you're pregnant.
Right.
You know, always and Degrassi Junior High was when they pushed the envelope the most, I felt.
You graduated? Look out for the anvil falling off the roof.
And like the hilariousness of how they would just take a character and just rub them through the mud and back. And like how could a person like Wheels actually be or exist with all the stuff that they put that character through?
Pretty stressful.
But I mean, you actually were in the show for how long?
I was. I did a special two-part episode you can't afford to miss. Billy Parrott was the guy who played Shane in the original one. He was the father with Spike of the now 15-year-old Emma, who was the star of Degrassi The Next Generation. So they wrote a two-part episode for him, and I guess he didn't want to do it or didn't like the direction they took the character in. So because I have blonde hair, I ended up playing the role. And the Degrassi reunion episode of Jonavision was the highest rated episode we ever have. And people flew in from San Francisco to be in the audience. People loved this show. And
I remember that episode of you having everybody and just it was just insane. The crowd was going crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts. And a real affection for the characters, right? I think because they were everyday kids, they weren't superstars, they weren't super beautiful, they weren't actors, many of them. So I guess it was kind of really relatable to most kids. Except, like you say, the issues were pretty heavy duty.
And they would always just take it right to the end, just to get it done in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So what's your most Canadian TV show?
Well, I thought a lot about it. There's a lot that are worthy. Degrassi is a great choice, by the way. Hockey Night in Canada would be good. I thought Danger Bay, King of Kensington, Mr. Dress-Up deserves an honorable mention. But the show that I ended up picking for its Canadianity all across the board is, because of its modest parameters, the game show Definition.
Wow.
The reason I picked Definition is because, first of all, the theme song is a song that everybody in Canada knows, and it was even sampled by the Dream Warriors, which is pretty Canadian. Yep. Secondly, I think the thing that put it over the top Canada-wise for me is that the prizes were so modest, and you genuinely got the sense watching the show that people were happy and did feel like they won just by appearing on it.
Yeah, like what kind of, they would win like a stereo, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Or something like that.
Years a clock radio. Clock radio.
Yeah, clock radio is a big one.
Some car detailing. Like instead of a car,
right,
they'd get like a car, two sessions of car detailing.
Or like car mats.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, you got three car washes.
And a case of Rice-A-Roni. Like,
that's, yeah,
the cheap Canadian amounts game of show food is, yeah, already an oxymoron.
Oh,
there,
man,
were some good, yeah, ones. Like Test Pattern kind of made fun of that. Do you remember Dan Gallagher?
Dan Gallagher was a classic Canadian culture. He was also very funny and smart.
Yeah.
For sure. And
did,
huge.
Did guest a Test Pattern, and he did video hits. His sidekick, yep, on Test Pattern is one of the hardest and most often working writers in Canadian show business, Luch Casimiri. Really funny guy.
Yep.
He writes.
Also very, very recognizable as well. If, yeah, you see his face. Yes, for sure.
And he wrote like all Ron McLean's copy at the Olympics. He writes every award show that happens. He's a cool cat. And by, nice, all accounts, Dan Gallagher was too. He's another one who left us too soon, but a, yep, big, larger, sure, than life personality and person. Yep. So I
wasn't
guess,
he like six? Wasn't he like 6'5" or something like that? He,
yeah, something very outrageous.
Huge guy.
Man. Yeah.
And nice, really nice guy, for
by
sure.
By all accounts, like, a really nice cat.
I remember meeting him early, like OLP days, like the second time of Much Music, like the Much More Music Awards back when they used to have like 5440 as the headliner.
Right.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that era in Canadian music the other day, like when Odds were in, was it Junk House's video? Do you remember?
I think so.
There was a real Canadian community, like a bunch of rock bands that all kind of came up at the same time, and they seemed to really have each other's backs.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was definitely small at that time, and I think when you were, if you had any kind of play on Much Music, you kind of had to band together, or, you know, you're not going to survive if you start ripping each other apart.
Right.
So definitely a small community, and if you were embraced by Much Music, then you kind of were, in a sense, gifted a career, and it's your chance to screw it up, you know, because if the control that it still has in a sense, but back then, like if you were on Much Music, you were, that was it. You had a good chance of, if you were good live and that, coupled with that, you're selling records.
Boom. By the way, you know? On a side note, it's not a category unto itself, but we should give an honorable mention to Much Music because they could have just been MTV, yet they did maintain a distinctly Canadian flavor, both in the on-air, yep, personalities and the programming. They gave lots of up-and-coming bands their first shot. They created a lot of Canadian talent. And in a way, they were kind of the first place in Canada to think of Canada as somewhere that had a star system.
Yep.
And they treated Canadian bands like stars. Their personalities were stars. I dug it.
Also, the idea of, you know, you could say it's being cheap, but they did give, if you're an on-air personality, carte blanche to do something, you know, like when you can start your own TV shows. Like, I remember people would start the Top 10, or George was, you know, really heavily involved with taking the new music to different, yeah, places. They just gave you a chance to put something together, and if it takes off, then it's good to go. And if you're a creative person, what's not, you know, more amazing? There's nothing better than to do that for a job. You weren't getting paid, but you were getting every opportunity to give yourself a chance. And George kind of took that opportunity that they gave him by, I remember he had like two or three shows going at the time when I knew him there, always trying to, you know, push it to the next level in a sense, and that's what sticks.
He's a nice kid, and I hope it works out for him.
You can't do that anywhere else. Even more now, where you just go in and it's like, I'm going to have these three shows and they're going to be on the air within, you know, 3 months if they're good. That's crazy.
Well, the weird thing about the TV business now is, in a way, the network names are the biggest misnomer. Much Music shows Pretty Little Liars and other dramatic series, right? CMT shows Just for Laughs Gags. So it's kind of a weird time in the history of TV. Much Music had a clear identity. Like, I'm just thinking about Bill Belichka and Monica Diol and Electric Circus and, you know, Kim Clark Champness with another Much Music rock flesh. It was like the dawn of Canadian cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Amen.
So let's get to the next one. This is a little different. Most Canadian sound.
So mine is The Loon. And by The Loon, I mean Don Cherry. Don Cherry's rants on Coach's Corner have, first of all, provided the soundtrack to so many activities in my life. Drinking beer, watching the game, painting with the game on in the background, driving. And he's a celebrity that could probably only exist here. And if you take what he says and put it through a colander, there aren't even that many helpful nuggets left over anymore. And yet, in good Canadian fashion, we embrace him. His voice is clipped and his grammar unique, but you can't argue that it's a Canadian sound.
And it's almost like the more banged up that he acts, the better it is. The more crazy stuff that he says, the more people want to watch.
And kudos to Ron McLean for sitting in the sidecar beside him for all these years and having to pour syrup over poo. And even though it still tastes like a poo sandwich, it makes it go down a little better. You know, McLean always kind of gracefully disengages from the conversation and throws it back. That's not an easy skill.
Yes, and I'll tell you what's not an easy skill. Somehow talking about shit and Don Cherry being that, but making it sound like it's nice.
Yeah.
That's talent right there.
Thanks, bud.
JT.
Thanks, bud. What's your most Canadian sound?
Well, mine's actually quite simple. It's nothing long and loud, but definitely Canadian. It's the sound of beavers having sex, Jonathan. That's some Canadianity sounds right there.
Slapping tails.
Just pounding each other in the dam. Just getting right into things. They prepare the nest. Perhaps put some patio lanterns on.
Yeah.
And just get to the fucking.
I was listening to Patio Lanterns last night. That is a good jam.
That's probably the theme of the May 2-4, I would say.
I would say.
Like even I could hear that and it just makes me feel good if it's May 2-4 and nice out. It doesn't matter how much you like or dislike Kim Mitchell. You can't not like hearing that sound in the summerish nights.
I wonder whatever happened to Joy. That was her name.
Yeah.
They were stuck together like glue on glue. Heartache on heartache.
Pie Dubois could really string some words together, eh?
Hey, what is that instrument, by the way? The...
I believe that would be a something on the old Korg synthesizer trying to sound like perhaps a glass tubey.
Right.
Flute kind of thing.
It's the Zamfir function on a Korg.
Definitely.
So that wouldn't Zamfir fall in your lap. That's not a percussion sound.
No, that would be Mr. Frenette on the keyboard.
It's a Lucamonti 5000.
Remember the Frenette, not the Matt Frenette, his drummer, the other Frenette who would sing All We Are, the hard parts, the choruses. You remember that? Those are the soulful hard parts where Kim starts lighting the butt instead.
You know, the only guy that trumps him is the down the green room, who sings with Robbie Robertson.
Oh yeah, well the guy from, was he from
Blue Train? Who's that guy?
Yeah, the guy from starts with a B, ends with an S.
Bare Naked Ladies?
No. But something like that. We'll figure it out. But
he was a great, crazy room.
Great singer.
He is a great singer.
Yeah. Robbie Robertson does the Johnny and the Fast Hands talking in the verses.
Yeah, he does.
Hey, the Feel You Up Styles.
I didn't even know. You know, Broken Arrow, it was a single for Rod Stewart. I didn't even know that it was a Robbie Robertson joint. But some summer night, open the windows and throw on Robbie Robertson's Broken Arrow and tell me you're not going to get busy with Mrs. T.
It might work. Good move.
Yeah, get a little sitter. Get a sitter. Crank your iPod with Broken
Arrow. You're talking about little Terry Bozzio on the drums there doing the ting tings. He's playing those gongy sounding cymbals on that track. Oh, yeah. That's a deep reference right there.
Wow.
Terry Bozzio. I'm still upset that I can't remember the name of the guy in that one song, but it's a the B something S, not Bare Naked Ladies, but.
Don't know.
Damn it!
So that brings us to most Canadian. Who's going first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Because what's more Canadian than not giving up and blind ambition, heartlessness, selflessness, humanity across the board? I'm talking about the great Terry Fox for the most Canadian.
Good choice.
The fact that, all know what he did and what he stands for and continues to do that. I think we would all strive to be so Canadian.
That is a great choice. And it's incredible. I mean, the story was incredible at the time. I wasn't so old as you weren't either. But it was so moving at the time, and it was inconceivable that this guy would do it. Now, at my age, looking back and realizing he was just a kid.
Yeah.
He was a baby doing this. Mm-hmm. And how much awareness of greater good would he have had to have to embark on something that people probably laughed at?
Yeah.
Incredible pain that he
went.
Great choice.
The pain that he went through, especially on a bad, how many bad days that he had. You know, the fact that he just continued to do it. Imagine, being a kid, and you're working out and it's hard. But imagine the fact that you're dying and you're continuing to do that instead of spend time with your family.
Man.
It's just unbelievable.
I can only wonder if having that task and having those miles ahead of him was a welcome distraction because it gave him other things to concentrate on, but you'd have to assume some of those long, lonely miles, especially in the early going when folks didn't even come out to cheer him on, he must have had nothing else to think about.
Absolutely.
Great choice.
Sure.
Good for you.
Nice. Thank you very much. But I couldn't think of a more Canadian type person in my brain. Who do you got? Who you got,
well,
T? You got, JT?
To go after a choice like that is difficult. But I'm still happy with my choice. He was one of the proudest patriots in our history, yet possessed the seemingly un-Canadian traits of moxie, confidence, some would say arrogance. But I don't think you'd find somebody who cared more about this country, and that was Pierre Elliott Trudeau.
Whoa!
Yeah, I dug deep.
Digging deep. Taking a stance.
I mean, there are some other honorable mentions. Obviously, CBC did a series called The Greatest Canadian a few years ago, and I think they ultimately decided that Tommy Douglas was.
Tommy Douglas, yep.
There are astronauts and politicians and athletes who are deserving too, of course. Wayne Gretzky, for example, I saw him when I was about 9, drain 170-yard, probably 8-iron, maybe 7-iron, right in the cup at the Belvedere Golf Club in Charlottetown, as if I didn't already think he was the Lamb of God.
So
there are some iconic Canadian folks like that. I went with Trudeau because he was charming, he was confident, and you can't deny that the changing face of Canada today has to do with the fact that in the 70s, in a very Canadian way, he said, when other parts of the world didn't, our borders are open, come one, come all, we would love for you to call Canada home. That was so forward-thinking, and as a result, the shape and tapestry of our country is what it is today, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
Good one. I think for what somebody did, absolutely. I mean, I can approve of your embracing there, because he definitely took us up a notch in the world stage, for sure. If not that, then Maggie's Good Times with the Stones. That's definitely.
I mean, all this like FLQ, really intense political stuff set against a backdrop of like flowers in his lapel and dancing and partying around the world. Like, he was a kind of playboy, and we'd never seen that. Canadian politics are so boring for the most part, but to have somebody who was kind of compelling and, dare I say, a little sexy in that office was so cool.
The fuddle duddle.
The whole fuddle duddle thing, yeah. And the whole just watch me thing. He had some nads.
Yeah, that's some. I remember Martin Short did a pretty mean Trudeau.
Did he?
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Martin Short's another incredible Canadian. Anyway, yeah, so I picked Trudeau because of the size of his Timbits.
Nice, nice one. So hey, I believe. What?
Well, I was just going to say, there's one other great Canadian that we need to check in with in this first annual of the Candies. I keep saying annual in the hopes that we do this every year.
Yes,
me too. We have big plans for, like, suddenly there'll be a televised thing and the Walk of Fame will be involved. But for this year, it's you and me talking. I'm in my basement.
Yep, and I'm on Tim Bitt's couch.
So let's get the great Canadian Ronald Taggart on the phone and get his thoughts. Stand by.
So went down the crazy room.
Hey, Dad, how's it going?
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. How's the weather up there?
Oh, the weather's fine. I'm stuck in the driveway.
Seriously?
The mud and the sand and the water. But I'm sure I'll be fine in a month.
You're stuck in the driveway? How deep is the car in the mud?
It's up to the axle.
Oh, Come on. You can't get the car out of the driveway because of mud?
That's right. But I'll get it out eventually when it dries up a notch or two.
What's Jetson doing? Isn't that his thing?
No, I got to come up tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, I'm going to go up there, and we're going to get James, because James is up there.
We'll all have a heave at it. We'll get it going. We'll get it going.
I'll come up tomorrow night.
We'll get it out.
Do you have food?
Oh, yeah. We're okay for a month.
Hey, Ronnie, what's the most Canadian food?
Bacon and tomato sandwich, bacon and beans, beans and bacon, back bacon.
Those are nice. That's
not bad.
Good choices.
Hamburgers. Canadian hamburger.
Hey, when you say bacon and beans, do you mean mixed together or kind of side by side?
Well, you can have it either way. You can chop up the bacon and have it all together.
That sounds great.
Yeah, especially with lots of pepper on it.
Oh, yeah, Dad likes to blacken the top of it with the pepper.
And a bit of Moosejaw mustard.
Ooh, getting fancy, eh?
Culinary delight.
Is that Dijon? Is that what it's called? Dijon.
Dijon?
I love that French cooking. Yeah.
Hey, do you know Celine Dijon bought Schwartz's Smoked Meats restaurant in Montreal?
Yeah, I've heard her. I heard she's made a lot of dough, I heard.
Yeah. Celine. Oh.
James said she made how much? $300 million. Is that possible?
I'm afraid so.
Yeah.
Man, she could start her own country.
I will tell you something, though. I've heard her do a vocal warm-up in an arena without a microphone. She can blow the roof off the place. Her music is not to my taste, but her instrument is incredible.
You can't deny her voice, right?
No.
No, she can sing. That's
Can sing like that.
Hey, Ronnie, who do you think is the best Canadian singer?
Oh, the best Canadian singer? Oh, man. There's so many. I don't know. Let me see. Oh, I can't think of any right now.
Anne Murray.
Burton Cummings?
Green Maida.
Burton Cummings?
Burton Cummings. All right, he's not bad. He's a good turn. You can't deny his piano playing.
Nice.
Oh, man. Oh, Gordon Lightfoot, not bad.
There you go.
Richard Manuel from the band was a great singer.
Manuel from the band. I always thought Robbie Robertson. I always remember him.
Some went down a crazy road.
That's a good song. I like that.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Hey, what about Mitsu?
Yeah.
Mitsu.
Yeah. Hey, what about The Moonwalk, eh? From Ronnie Hawkins.
Oh, yeah, no, that's right.
He done the moonwalk. I saw him doing like 1958, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Really?
Across the stage, everybody, what the fuck? And there he was doing the moonwalk. I thought he was floating on something.
So Michael Jackson jacked the moonwalk from Ronnie the Hawk?
Yeah, yeah, you look into that, man.
He said he's...
That's wild.
That must have been an old dance from that time, you know?
Daddy was doing it in the cowboy boots going across the stage.
No, no, I didn't have cowboy boots on. He had his big spikes on it. I forget. No, he went, you know, he did a real cool moonwalk.
Oh, that's right.
But Ronnie the Hawk is not Canadian, is he?
No, no.
He came up here and stayed.
Yeah.
Right.
He came up here and stayed, but when he formed the band, they were all up
yeah,
here.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're happy to have him.
He didn't look as gruff. He looked more 50s, normal. Like, yeah, so he was probably... He was soft-shoeing across the stage.
He wasn't bad.
He invented the moonwalk.
Yeah, well, at least it's the first time I ever seen it.
Hey, Ronnie, what's the most Canadian sound?
Opening a beer bottle.
Good one.
You know those old caps?
The old stubbies.
Snap a cap.
Sorry, I just spit water in the house here.
What's the most Canadian TV show, Ronnie? I'd
never do that.
Oh, the Beachcombers, eh?
Good. See, he's on fire. And finally, Ronnie, who's the most Canadian?
Canadian. Oh, man.
I'll tell you, Jeremy said Terry Fox. I said Pierre Trudeau.
Terry Fox. That's pretty cool. Trudeau?
Yeah, Trudeau.
I don't know what I like.
But to be clear, that's Pierre, not Justin.
I'd have to think about that for a couple of months.
We'll wait. And
how about Dad? How about
Dr. Nixon? Ask me again.
How about Trudeau, Dad?
Which one?
No, Pierre. No.
Pierre?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he had a good life, eh? Shit. Well, he tried to spend all of his father's money.
Pierre?
Which one are you talking about, Pierre?
Yeah, had a pretty good life. You avoided going into the armed forces, stuff like that, you know. Roaring around in a Mercedes, you know, when he was a teenager or something.
Who do you think is the best prime minister in Canadian history?
I don't think that. I'm not sure. George Washington?
I guess he was as good as any.
Yeah, it's as good as any, I'll tell you. I loved Jefferson or somebody.
No.
No, man, I can't really think. They're all out for themselves. It seems to me.
Oh, man.
You know that?
Yeah, we're
George
talking...
Washington's a pretty good answer.
I don't look after the people.
What about country crooner George Fox?
They're still doing it to us. The same politicians. They're looking the other way when they should be right in there fighting for us. Right?
Yep.
Just wait till the gas prices over the summer hits there. You'll be all right. Buck and a half a gallon or a liter. It's heading that way in the summer.
It's $1.40 right now.
It's going crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's going to get any worse.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Who determines the price of gas, by the way?
Where?
In Canada. Like, who does that? Who decides that Petro-Can's going to jack her up 8 cents over the weekend?
Yeah, how do they get to justify that?
Yeah, it's like four guys in a room just hanging out.
How do you justify that?
I guess it's four guys who don't have cars.
They don't have to answer anybody, right? They just do it as they please. As usual, we've been doing it for thousands of years. Why should they stop now?
Hey, Ronnie, what's your choice for most Canadian word?
Hey.
Hey, that's there you go. That's a good one, for sure.
There it is.
That's as good as any. Hey.
Hey, Ronnie, good to talk to you, eh?
Hey, it's good to talk to you guys. I love you all down there.
Take care, man.
Good talking to you, Dad.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see you all soon.
See you, Dad.
Okay, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
He was all fired up.
Yeah, that was a good one. Nice.
That's nice. Did Jeremy say great questions as he hung up the phone?
Yeah.
And for the first time, your mom was in the background weighing in on things.
Yeah, no, that was good for sure.
Ooh, catch the blue train.
So, Ronnie was a little fired up this week at the end. Did you notice that?
He was into it. And it was the first time you could hear your mother in the background kind of partying with him. She was into it, too.
Yeah, James was there too. They're all kind of trapped in the mud in a sense. And yeah, I got to get up and relieve the situation. Yeah, Jetson's going to help too. Obviously, he's the...
Hey, what grade chains are you going to use, bud?
What's that?
Going to use some thick grade chains, tow them out?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to leave the car and just get James and then wait till the actual ground hardens before they can get out. Apparently, it's so bad that there's no getting... Because it's a long driveway that's super muddy, so that you get them 2 feet, it's still muddy, you know?
So he's so not kidding when he says they're kind of trapped in there.
Oh, no, they are, 100%. The car will not get out of there. So, yeah, I got to go get...
Can you walk down the driveway?
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
But that's why I keep telling my mom she's got to stop parking down there because it was bound to happen. It happens every year. But she drives up there, and there you go. That's what happens.
And now they're getting shack wacky.
Yeah, we got to get them out of there. We got to get them. That's the thing of this year. We got to get them, sell that house and get them into a more civilized area.
Well, and speaking of upcoming episodes, if there's no help, no progress made by next week, we could have a telethon for them.
Yeah, we might have to.
A ronathon.
Yeah, we should do a webcam from there.
Oh my gosh. Maybe we can do a live remote like they do at the furniture stores and stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
It's Taggart and Torrance coming to you from Ronnie's house.
I want to do an episode, I'm hoping that Sam Tarasco has more dealings with Rob Ford, but I would love to do an episode from Steak Queen.
Sure.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Be awesome.
Maybe on like a Saturday night or something, just get a feel for the city and from the Rexdale perspective.
Yeah. I was also thinking an episode that I'd like to do is Unsung Heroes. Like people who are awesome, but maybe don't get enough props publicly. Might be bands, might be shows, might be actors, could be politicians or whoever.
But, nice.
Because there are a lot of people around who, when you think about them, you're like, man, that guy's awesome.
Yep, for sure. No, we got to do that. We got to think of a good name for that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Robin Hood concept.
Maybe, the hoodies.
The hoodies. One for the Gippers? The Gippers?
The Gippers. The hoodies or the Gippers. All that to say, the candies was a huge success.
Yes.
Hope that the people listening think so too. You can get at us on the Twitter machine, Taggart and Torrens, or you can email us, taggartandtorrens@gmail.com. Meantime,
yep.
Keep your stick on the ice, bud.
Nice talking to you again. We'll talk to you soon there, JT.
And also with you. Thanks for listening, folks. Talk to you soon.
Fucking right, eh? Good night.